If you will, turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, it's in the Old Testament. It's your fourth book in the Bible, if that helps. Page 1002. No, I don't have any idea what page it is, but Numbers chapter 13. We're going to begin a new series today. The title of this series is Different. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about being different. So as we begin, I do want to tell you, not every thought that I have in this sermon today comes directly from me. I've been reading this book entitled Weird. And weird sounds a little weird, right? We don't want to be weird, but we don't mind being called different. So what I want to do as we begin this series, I want to read you a few of the words of Craig Groeschel, the author of this book, because part of the reason I'm going to read this is, one, because I think it's good. The second reason I want you to know it's his words is because they're pretty harsh, and I didn't want you to think it's coming from me. So these are the words of Craig Groeschel, but I believe they speak to all of us today. As we start this, just listen up and see if you don't hear some truth in these words. Almost nobody growing up in elementary school or middle school wanted to be different from other kids. To be different was thought to be weird. No one wanted to be called weird. Normal was in, and it was our full-time job as kids to fit in. That was our goal. Unfortunately, we take that fitting in into adulthood. And the trouble with normal is that normal is not working so well in our adult lives. Normal people are broke financially. Most normal people we know are in debt so deep they can't see their way out. It's so expensive being normal, buying new gadgets and taking unaffordable trips so we can post pics on social media. Then you could take a look at what we buy our children and what we do for our kids and see these days that we're just being normal parents. Normal relationships are superficial or even selfish. Affairs and adultery are normal. We're led to believe that being in a monogamous lifelong relationship is not even possible. Sex outside of marriage provides attention and romance without commitment, sacrifice, or intimacy required in marriage. Like I said, these are his words, okay? These are his words. To be a lukewarm Christian is normal in most churches. Churchgoers today are characterized by self-centered spiritual consumerism and shallow, me-driven faith. God is a means to an end and to get what you want. All of this is normal. Normal is broken. Normal isn't working. Normal is miles away from what God intended for our lives. So God invites you to be different. Not weird, different. You're called to live a radically obedient life, led and filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of living a stressed out and meaningless life, you can be different. God's Word and Holy Spirit will lead you along a path to financial peace and eternal investments. And you can experience rest for your soul. You can enjoy meaningful relationships. You can live a life of purpose. You can be different. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've already prayed this, but I ask you again that you would seek our hearts, that we would be open to allowing you into every corner, crack, and crevice of our heart. That we would hold nothing back. And that you would show us what it means to be different. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you an Old Testament story about someone who was different. And you're going to know this story. There's been movies made about it. You've seen them probably through the Ten Commandments, the Prince of Egypt. There's lots of them out there. But 2 million plus Jews were in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. And Moses comes along and is called by God at 80 years old to deliver them from Egypt. So through the leadership of God and His miraculous power, He brings plagues on the people, on Pharaoh, in order to cause Pharaoh to let these people go. Now, 50 days into their freedom, of course, they got out. They even, God parted the Red Sea, got them across. You know the story. The Red Sea then caved in. They're free. Okay? 50 days into their freedom, they arrive at Mount Sinai. And they remained there for a year and a half. And then they had an 11-day trek to the edge of the Promised Land. To the place that God had promised them, they're there. They've made it to the Promised Land. They're looking down on what God has promised them. And at this point, God speaks to Moses. And He says, I want you to take 12 spies. Why 12 spies? Because there were 12 tribes. And God said, I want you to get one spy from each tribe. And I want you to send them down into the land for 40 days. And see if this promised land is not what I promised. If it's not exactly what I told them it would be. And that's exactly what Moses did. He took 12 people, 12 spies, and he sent them into the promised land for 40 days. And sure enough, they finally come back. 10 out of the 12. Oh, by the way, all of them said it is exactly what God said it would be. All 12 agreed on that. There was agreement on the fact that God's promise was true, that God had gotten them there, but there was a problem. 10 of the 12 were scared. 10 of the 12 looked at the size of the people in that promised land and said, there are giants there, more powerful than us. And they begin to complain and say, why did God bring us here only to kill us when we get to the promised land? But there was someone, actually two, that were different. Two out of the 12 were different. So let's find out about these two. Their names are Caleb and Joshua. So I want to pick up in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Now, I want you to look at chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Now let's look at verses 5 through 9. We're going to be all over this story today, I'm just going to tell you. But we're going to learn something from it. Chapter 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, remember, two out of 12, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing, and they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Unfortunately, the two were different. And they were not able to convince the 10 or the 2 million that were sitting there listening. Even though they were different. Look at verse 20. Then the Lord God said, I will pardon them as you've requested. The reason He's saying this is once again, these people are grumbling, they're complaining. God was so upset, He was ready to take them out. He was done. He was done with them. He wanted to take them out, but Moses pleaded against doing that. And he said, just wait, God, just wait. And God said this, I will pardon them as you have requested. But as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter the land. They've all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness, but again and again they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. Anybody ever have someone refuse to listen to your voice? It's the opposite of obey, and it's called what? To disobey. To refuse to listen to my voice. Nothing gets me riled up more than when Connor and Tessa do not listen to my voice. Verse 23. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of these who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb. Everybody say, but my servant Caleb. Because he has a what? A what? A different spirit. In him and has followed me fully. What is following someone fully? It's obedience. To follow fully. He didn't say he follows me part of the time. He didn't say, you know what, 90% of the time he's followed. No. He follows me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. To be different in the world means to be obedient to God and to have a different spirit. Following Christ with unhindered obedience is not normal. But notice Caleb, you know, everyone else didn't listen to the voice of God, but Caleb followed him fully. He had a different spirit. I actually liked what Leroy said earlier in taking the offering. See, we sometimes have what's called conditional obedience to God. Conditional obedience to God. I'm in, God, as long as you're delivering. God, I'll obey as long as it doesn't cost me too much. I'll do what you want me to do as long as I see the results I want to see. But if it makes me uncomfortable, if it's inconvenient for me, if you're not doing what I think you should be doing, then I'm going to back off. I'm going to step out. It's conditional obedience. It's kind of like my kids, and it's called selective hearing. At night, my kids play outside all afternoon on Saturdays and when they come home from school. And about 8 o'clock every night, we got to call them in for baths. It's getting dark. And I'll say, Connor, Tessa, time to take a bath. And I can't find anybody. It's silence. It's crickets. Connor, Tessa, time to take a bath. It's crickets. Just, you got to scream and yell and try to find them, hunt them down. You're walking across the street to every neighbor, just trying to get them in. But if I say the word ice cream, whoosh, ice cream? Where? I'll take it. Yes, I want some ice cream. Who has ice cream? Selective listening. They hear what they want to hear. Bath doesn't sound good. Ice cream, good. Bath, not so good. I'll obey the commands I want to hear, God. I love the part about many plans you have to bless and prosper me and not to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. But forgive my enemies? God, you don't know my enemies. Pray for my enemies? Yeah, I'll pray they die. God, I love that verse about you work everything out for the good of those who love you, but wait until I'm married to share intimacy? You don't understand. You don't know what it's like to be a man. I'll obey as long as I'm comfortable. It's conditional obedience. Let me give you something to write down if you're taking notes. Don't have to if you don't want to. But this is something you could write down. God does not give us options to consider. He gives us commands to obey. They're not options to consider. They're commands to obey. Caleb had a different spirit. Let me tell you just a side story. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I want you to understand that God knows your promise. He has your promised land right in front of you. Just like these people are sitting on the edge of the promised land. I think it's a great metaphor today for us to understand that each one of us have a promised land. Back in Genesis, God is talking to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Abraham's 100 years old, and he's like, I'm going to have a son? Do you know how old I am? And he kind of laughs. But don't worry, I know that sounds crazy. Sarah, she was much younger. She was 90, so she's got this. No problem. She can have a baby at 90, right? No big deal. Both of them are like, are you kidding me? Seriously? And God's like, with me, all things are possible. Sure enough, they have this baby. Both of them couldn't believe it. But God did what he said he would do. And he said, now I want you to name him Isaac. You see, when God named people, he gave them his purpose. So when he's telling them his name, he's also giving them his purpose. And each one of you, God knows you, he knows your purpose, and he knows your promise. And he has it in front of you. And it's through obedience to him that we are going to get there. Am I saying it's through works? Please don't get caught up in that, okay? It's faith that we have in God that gets us through the day. It's grace that we live in every day. Are you thankful for the grace? Can we say amen to that? But understand, it's through obedience that we live in the promises of God. Our promise is not for us to create. It's just for us to obey. God already has it. He already knows what you can do and how you can be used of him. And as you do that, you will walk into your promise. Let's look back at Numbers chapter 13 again. Numbers 13, I want to read verses 26 and 27. See, these 12 have come back to report to Moses. They've been gone for 40 days. You know what? They didn't just come back. They came back with proof. They're hauling fruit and vegetables and everything. And they're saying, this place is loaded with milk and honey. So here's what they say. They reported back to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community that they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. They're saying, this can be ours. They brought proof. It's right in front of the people. They're saying, God promised us this, and this can be ours. Exactly what God promised. Listen, let me ask you a question. Are you living under God's promise for your life? Are you living in your promised land? Is there, each one of us, it's a little different. How do we attain this promised land? How do we get it? I want you to look at how not to get it. Okay? Can I just show you how not to attain? We're going to get to how we attain it at the end. But Numbers 14, let's read 1 and 2 again. We read this earlier. This whole community began weeping aloud, cried all night. I mean, these are babies. I'm just like, wah! Crying all night long. Their voices rose in great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness, they complained. Slavery. They came from slavery. Do you understand this? 400 years of slavery. They're finally free. They've made it all the way to the edge of the promised land. And all they can say is, I just wish we'd never gone. I just wish we could go back. I just wish we didn't even come. And when I hear this, what I kind of hear them saying is, for us, sometimes we're bound by addiction. Sometimes we're bound by unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it may be for you, you're bound in that. And you've got set free. God has brought you out of that. And you're feeling the freedom that comes with being out of the bondage. Yet you look at that and go, you know what? I just want to go back. It's more comfortable there. I'd rather be back in that substance abuse where I was comfortable than being in the promised land. That's what they're saying. You to look at your neighbor and say, you are a leader. I want you to look at your other neighbor because I don't want anybody left out. Look at your other neighbor and say, you are a leader. Every single one of us in the room are leaders. At some point, you may think, well, what am I leading? It could be in your family that you're a leader. It could be with your friends. It could be at work. It could be anywhere, but can I help you understand something as a leader? As a leader of people, When you try to take people somewhere new, when you try to take them to a better place, they will rebel against you. Why? Because there is always a voice that's trying to convince them that change is worse than staying the same. They always are convinced that change is worse than staying the same. It's too much of a risk. What if we move forward and it's not better than where we're at? What if we go to attain the promised land and it's worse than where we're at? Let me just encourage you with this. There is zero risk when the promise is from God. That there should have been something there. There is zero risk when the promise is from God. Amen. Zero risk. These people had been promised this by God. Did he prove himself? How many times? I mean, he brings plagues on the people that have them. He parts the stinking Red Sea. Can you imagine? He gets them out. He brings them all the way to the edge of their promised land. And all they can think is, we should have died where we were. We should go back to where we came from. How many times do we find ourselves thinking, maybe I just want to go back? When we have such proof of what God has done for us already. It's sitting right in front of us. And when we begin to think about our lives before we had God, can anybody remember that? I know I can. If you can think back and remember what life was like before God was in your life, why would you want to go back to that? Can I tell you some exciting news today? I don't even know. Courtney might have mentioned this in the announcements. But I'm going to tell you again. We have four locations for anybody that maybe doesn't know. Let me give you a really short backstory about all this. Okay? About 4 years ago, Pastor Stan Saunders, our pastor in St. Joe, had this idea of starting multiple locations. I say idea. It was a vision from God. I think it's awesome. And it's working. And so we started a location in Milan. After that got going, we started a location in Cameron. After that got going, Pastor Stan wanted to start a location in St. Joe, which is where he's at now. And that's when I took over last August here. And here we are with these four locations. Pastor Aaron has been killing it in Cameron. And today, they moved to two services. Did we already know this? Did anybody say this already? Good, they did. Can we give God praise for that? How awesome is that? And can I tell you something? That's going to bring change. It's going to be different than it was with one service. But you know that God is in this, and you know that He's doing something in that church, and that as they change and go to something different, it's going to continue to grow, it's going to continue to do well, and it's just going to get bigger and better. Can you say amen to that? How awesome is that? Because when God is involved, there's no risk. It's His promise. Look at chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. Let's go back to this. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They plotted amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back. Can I just tell you, God will never call you out of what you're in to destroy you. He will never call you out of what you're in to destroy you. That is not our God. There may be a process. There might even be something called growing pains. Just like you experienced when you were little. There might be a little pain involved, but in the long run, it's going to benefit you. You will be better off because God promised it. Now I want to tell you a story. And this is not even something I'm proud of. It's kind of embarrassing to even tell you. But I'm going to tell you anyway. My freshman year of college. I guess I'll chalk it up to being young. My freshman year of college. I'm not as wise as I am now. Okay? You should have laughed on that one. My freshman year, I'm going to Evangel in Springfield. I graduated from Hillcrest High School in Springfield. So I'm in the same town that I graduated high school. And one of my ex-girlfriends from high school called me up and said, hey, would you like to take me to prom? well, this is a great opportunity to go back and see all my old friends, hang out with her. We were good friends still. She was a twin, and her brother and I were really good friends. I knew their parents. So it was kind of like I was close to the whole family. I thought it'd be a great time. So I told her yes. So that's what normal people do, right? We dressed up, and we went to prom. And we had a great time. And in the middle of the prom, we're hanging out, and she said, hey, after this, we're going to go to a party. So-and-so's having a party. I'm like, sounds great. In high school, we lived out in the country, just not too far from our high school. But we lived out in the country, and I would, about once a month, every other month, I would have these bonfires out of our house. We had a creek back behind the house, and we would all drive our vehicles down there because we were cool back then. We'd crank our music, start a big bonfire, and we'd have a party. And we had a great time. Now, people knew I didn't drink. So they didn't come thinking, let's bring on the alcohol. It was bring on the Mountain Dew. That's what I drank. That was my drink of choice. But I'm not thinking anything about this party, okay? So we pull up to a hotel room. I should say motel room because they opened out to the outside. And I look up, and on the second level, there are three doors that are open, and students are just standing all along the balcony. And this is the party that we're about to walk into, which some of those students' parents paid for. Because that's normal. Because that's what you do. When you have prom night, you party. You go have a good time. So the parents took it upon themselves, if my kids are going to drink or be under the influence, I want them in one location. So I'll pay for a hotel room for them to have a place to do that. Because that's what normal people do. So we walk up the stairs, go down the balcony. I walk in, and it's the first room I walk into. It's room-to-room people. There's a haze from the smoke, if you know what I'm talking about. I've never been to one of these. You guys might be going, yeah, been there many times. I have. So at this point, I'm literally repenting of all my sins because I'm feeling like I'm about to go to hell. I mean, I'm just telling you. Can I be honest? It was awful. I had the worst feeling in the world as I walked in this room. And I walked to the bathroom to use the restroom. And when I shut the door, I turned around. And in the bathtub was a mound of alcohol taking up the entire bathtub. I used the restroom. I walk out. And I'm going back out to the balcony to see if any other room is safer than this one. And as I look to my left, sits a little table and chairs like most motel rooms have. And there's kids doling out drugs right there. And here I sit. And I have a decision to make because I really wanted to get out of there. But at the same time, I'm responsible for this young lady. And I was just going to leave her. I'll be honest with you. But I'm close to the family. And I didn't want them saying, why in the world did you leave her? So you know what? My goal that night was just to be her bodyguard. To make sure that nobody touched her, took advantage of her. You know what I really was? I realized after that I was her designated driver. She just wanted to go have fun. She knew I wouldn't. And so she just made me her designated driver. And all the time, here's the thing to understand that was really hard for me, is I'm playing baseball at a Christian college. And if I had gotten caught there, I would have lost my scholarship. I would have been kicked out of school. My whole life would have changed from that moment. And when I think back on that moment, as normal as that may be for some people, how stupid to place your life under the substance of something else and say, here, have control of me because it's fun, because I want to fit in, because I want to be normal. I'm just going to consume all this I can because it's what you do on prom night. And if that's what it is, I just am glad I'm different. Can I be honest? I didn't have a desire. I don't see the good in that. But to be a high school student with your entire precious life before you, and you just say, here I am, I'll just be controlled by this, and whatever happens, happens. With all these teenage boys roaming around just looking for somebody to have a good time. Seriously? But that's normal. Man, it's quiet in here. I'm sorry. But the devil wants you to think that normal is okay. Do like Caleb and have a different spirit. Have a different spirit. It's okay if you don't fit in. You're not weird. You're just different. You can still have friends. You can still have a life, but it's different. People will not look at you and say, man, they're weird. You know what they'll say? They'll say, there's something different about them. It's actually a good thing. It's not a bad thing to be different. Caleb had a different spirit. And we think, I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to church every single week. The normal pattern is more comfortable for me to just go when I feel like it. And I just want to kind of live in that bondage of just being controlled by my decisions or by fitting in with everyone else rather than being controlled by the righteousness of God. Numbers 14, 8 through 10. Caleb says, if the Lord is pleased with us, He'll bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But here it is, verse 10. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. But look at the next line. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at that tabernacle. There is nothing like the glorious presence of God. In the moment when you're willing to be different, when you're willing to make a choice to say, I'm not going to be normal. I'm not going to keep doing the same old things I've always done. I need something different in my life. Can I tell you, when you do that, the glorious presence of God shows up. And there's nothing like it in the world. There's no high, there's no alcohol, there's no drug that can beat the glorious presence of God. I'm going to say a statement. I'll let you finish it. If God is for us, come on, let me ask that again. If God is for us, if God is for us, come on, don't be afraid to be different. You've been walking in the wilderness just trying to fit in. I just want to be normal. And the promised land is right in front of you. And it's there. You see the fruit. You see the honey and the milk flowing. But all you can see is, I just want to go back to where I was comfortable. Obedience to God may be different, but it's worth it. Now let me tell you just quickly these two scriptures. Once again, if you're taking notes, let me give you two scriptures. How do we be different? How are we different? Not weird. How are we different? Two scriptures you can write down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Romans 5, 17 through 19. These two scriptures. 2 Timothy, how are we different? By obeying Scripture. By obeying what this Word says. Listen to this. You must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us. Do you realize this story that I'm telling you? How many hundreds of years ago was that written? But it's helpful in teaching us how to reach the promise of God. It's what we're doing this morning. All Scripture inspired by God is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. How are we different? It's by obeying it. It sounds easy. It sounds simple. It might be a little hard. But we're different by obeying the Scripture. This is that fruit that Joshua and Caleb are holding out there saying, it's right here. Look at how good this fruit is. Look how amazing this place is going to be when we get there. It's all right here. By obeying the Scripture. Number two, imitate Christ. Romans chapter 5, 17 through 19. Imitate Christ. for the sin of this one man. I love this scripture. Man, if you can hear this, oh man, this will get you shouting. Okay. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over men. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin, death, through this one man, Jesus Christ. So Adam brings on condemnation and sin, but through the death of Jesus Christ, we get salvation. Look at verse 18. Adam's one sin brings condemnation to everybody, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God. Remember we talked about disobedience? Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. That's us. We will be made righteous because of the one act that Jesus Christ did for each one of us. Can you bow your heads with me? I've been praying about this all week, and I know that God is speaking to some of you in this room. And you're thinking right now, you're thinking, what's He going to have us do? What if I'm made to look different? What if I look weird? Can I tell you something? You've been a slave long enough. I want to pray that you would have a Caleb spirit, a different spirit, not different habits, a different spirit. Normal is not working. Conditional obedience is not working for you. If you are tired of being bound and you want to be set free today, I want to ask you to stand here in this moment, right now. If God is speaking to you, I want you to stand here. Nobody's looking. It's okay. Okay. I'm not going to let you get away with it. God is speaking to you. I want you to stand here. Tired of normal. You're ready for different. We've already got some standing. I want you to stand here for me. Father, you see these standing here today. Normal hasn't worked. We've all tried. We've all tried to fit in. Lord, there is a glorious presence that only you can bring that comes through obedience. Father, may we have a different spirit for these standing here today. They're making a statement. They don't mind being different. They're not going to be weird. Nobody's going to point at them, bring condemnation to them. Lord, they just want to be different, led by your spirit. May they have Caleb's spirit and be willing to take a stand and obey your word and see their promise. God, I'm praying they would see their promise that you have for their life. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I absolutely love each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here. I just can't wait to hear the good news from Pastor Aaron of what two services look like for them. Will you continue to pray for them? And I, with some other ladies out in the foyer today, we took time to pray for this hurricane, for some people we know down in Florida. I just want to close out the service today just praying for those who are going to get hit this afternoon. There's going to be homes destroyed. There's going to be people in those homes that didn't get out. Why, I don't know, but you know what? They're there. Can we just pray for God's protection over the whole state of Florida as we leave today? God, we just come to you right now. Lord, it's more than just Florida. It's the Cuba and all of those places, God, that are being hit by this hurricane and being affected. Lord, we pray protection upon them. God, we pray that you would just place your covering over them, Lord. And we're just asking that, Lord, they would be able to come out alive and safe and well. God, that you would hold those walls together as the wind hits, as the debris comes by. Lord, that you would keep them safe. Lord, keep the water down. Whatever it has to be, God, that you would have your hand upon those who are unable to get out. Lord, thank you for all those. Lord, that we have the technology to know to get out of the way of this. And God, I just pray that as people are traveling back and forth, Lord, there's going to be some rebuilding that has to take place. And I pray that you would help them financially, God, spiritually, emotionally, as they deal with rebuilding their homes, Lord, that you would just be with them and give them a peace that only you can give. We just lift them up to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We love you. God bless you.